Hi, you're here with Mark Wade.
And Ian Brill.
And you're here with 15 Minutes with Mark Wade. So we today are talking about the classic writer's question, where do you get your ideas? Which is the second most often question asked of me. The first being, do you draw them too?
That is, let's just go on our first tangent of the podcast.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I've been asked that question,
yeah.
And I have like three stories under my belt. There's just explaining that to a person who doesn't know comics,
know.
And that's just...
I know. Sometimes I just think, I don't even think they're really asking for information. I think they have no idea what to say next. It's
yeah.
like if you tell me you sell insurance, I ask you what field you're in or something.
Yeah.
But if I tell you write, you know, I write comics, I'm not sure that you're prepared for a follow-up question. It's probably the first one that comes to mind. But the other one, you know, I mean, obviously all writers get the question where you get your ideas. And we all, as writers, we all make fun of what a stupid question that is. But
sure.
The reality is it's a genuine question because, I mean, I talked again at UCLA this past week, did another class there. And it comes up, you know, it's with smart undergrads. So David Mamet actually had the best answer I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
David Mamet's answer was, I think of them, which I really love. But the reality is that, and you know this, that it's ideas come from everywhere, and you've got to keep your eyes open
mm-hmm.
on everything. You've got to read the newspaper. You've got to feed your head. You've got to check out YouTube. You've got to, but in there somewhere, maybe there's
an idea.
We
should do a podcast where it is just Mark Wade's movie reviews. Or
it's
Mark Wade at the movies.
Mark Wade at the movies, praying for the sweet, sweet release of death. And anyway, so, or, you know, you take from TV shows, you take from movies, not directly, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, in my case, it's always you sit in there and you watch this movie go left when
yeah.
you would have gone right.
Exactly.
And
it's like you question what's going on,
yeah.
like, oh, why don't, I can't even think of an example.
Yeah.
But you think of another way it could have gone, or you just make these connections in your head. It's
yeah.
it's like in the Coen brothers when they look at all the Raymond Chandler stuff, like The Big Sleep, and they
yeah.
think, hey, what if our slacker buddy
yeah,
was
exactly.
in the middle of all that?
Yeah, exactly.
And like
yeah.
who would make that connection in their head except the guys, Coen brothers, who know the real life Lebowski, and you know, decide to put on a show.
Yeah, I mean, on a related note, one of the great things that's done there is that the Coen brothers do real well, and a lot of other filmmakers, Ryan Johnson, the guy who did Brick,
yeah,
is another good example of here's another place you get an idea. You
yeah.
take an existing genre, an existing basic story pattern,
mm-hmm.
like in Brick's case, hard boiled Raymond Chandler detective,
yeah,
and just move it to high school,
yeah,
and you just change the venue, and suddenly you've got a whole new story. I didn't see the movie O. Not too long ago, but it was the one that was based on the basketball
oh,
team.
Oh, Othello
was,
in high school.
Othello in high school. Actually, I mean, I've not seen it, so I can't pass verdict. But boy, it was a you know, it's a good idea though. You know, I like the idea of moving.
And then there's Bugsy Malone.
So
I was trying to remember the name of that movie where
so,
it was,
yeah.
was it Scott Baio and Jodie Foster?
Yeah, it's so
where
good.
It's like a Damien Runyon thing. They're not
yeah.
in high school. It's little kids playing. Them.
Little kids playing gangsters.
That's,
it's so it doesn't always work, but. I mean, that's a big part of it. That's keeping your eyes open. The other thing is, I mean, everybody has touchstones for inspiration. Everybody has stuff they go back to the well on. And my favorite inspirational book that I use all the time is this book called Einstein's Dreams by a writer named Alan Lightman.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. What it is... it's a work of fiction, and it's set during the period where Einstein was still a patent clerk
uh-huh.
and had not developed, I mean, he was still developing his theories, but he hadn't become capital A Albert, capital E Einstein yet. And it's, the structure is like 50 short chapters of him imagining what time might be like in another dimension, or what time might it, what if time moved backward? What would life be like if that were the case? What if time were geographic, where depending upon where you are on the planet, it
yeah.
moved at different paces, it moved at different speeds, and it's not just about the science fiction of it. It's also about how people react in those situations, or how people's lives are changed by that simple twist in the way we think about something as common as time. Mm-hmm. And even if I'm not writing science fiction, or even if I'm not writing something that's heavy with that, it's still a great book for me to go back to, because it's just so rife with ideas. You can literally, it's like people say about the Bible, where you're looking for inspiration, you just stick your hand in the Bible and you find, yeah. Some people find some meaningful passage there. It's the same with Einstein's dreams. I just, like, any time I'm just stuck on something, I just go read one of those vignettes.
Yeah.
And it just, because there's such imagination there, it just unlocks a lot of what's going on in my head and it helps me articulate where I want to go. So, Einstein's Dreams by Alan Lightman. Hello, Amazon.com.
Now, since we are in the periodical business, is capturing ideas, how do you do that when you're under deadline? How do you do that when your editor says, hey, what's the next storyline, and we need it yesterday?
That's when I collaborate with my good friend Jack Daniels.
That's right.
A lot of it is just having to work it out on the page. I'm not a big believer in...
Do you have a notebook of things where, like, if called upon, hey, I've got this in my archives?
If I were a smart man, I would. And yet, I don't. You would think I would... It's some sort of weird self-defeating pattern in me that I don't carry a notebook around with me all the time. Because I just assume that I can remember all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when I was 24, I could. And now that I am 47, I am not as good about remembering all of the ideas I had. But...
Yeah.
William Messner Loeb said something to me. It was the most chilling thing I've ever heard a human being say. This is 20 years ago. Bill and I were just talking about stuff, and he just sighed. And I think he had hit a point where he'd a couple of weeks had gone by, and he hadn't gotten any work done. And he just sighed, this heavy sort of 40-year-old man sigh, and said, you know, when you're young, you think you'll always have ideas.
Oh, no.
I know. My heart just broke in half at that moment. I'm like, oh, my God. If Bill feels that way, and Bill's one of the most imaginative guys I know, there's no hope for the rest of us. So I did for a while. I started being very reverential about putting my ideas down and jotting my notes down and stuff. But no.
Now, can I ask you what's a worse feeling? That feeling that, oh, I'm all out of ideas, and from here on out, it's you know, a graveyard.
Right.
Or you had a great idea, like before you went to sleep,
right?
And then you wake up
and
have no idea what it was.
No, the graveyard thing is more the more like there's no hope in the future. That's the much worse idea, because the much worse feeling. And I speak from experience, because I had that feeling every single time I sit down to the keyboard.
That blank page mocking you, taunting you. That is such an insane feeling.
It's what sucks is apparently. It's part of the process.
Yeah.
If it weren't part of the process, over the past 20 years, I could have managed to relax into it with the notion of, okay, I don't really feel like I have any ideas right now, but I'm sure that something will come. And instead, every time I sit down, the panic takes hold, and it's like, well, that's it. I'm going to go open up a Starbucks, because there's nothing left for me. I'm going to open up a tire store and maybe a car wash. So... So another place you go, though, if you're stuck that way, if you find yourself jammed up, you don't have any ideas, is a lesson I learned of all things at Archie Comics when I was writing stuff there, which is
you have a character eat a ton of hamburgers.
Exactly, that's it. Perfect. There you
go. I mean, I don't want to spoil the next Spider-Man arc.
He's
wearing a crown
and he hates girls. That's right. What you do is. The beauty, like, I, you know, we make fun of the Archie comics on occasion because
never made fun of Archie comics.
No, I think
I've never read Archie comics.
Oh, see, they're
actually, I have a Josie and the Pussycats thing.
Okay,
it's just a collection of Dan DiCarlo.
Right. But the one thing I did pick up from Archie is that the characters are so simple and so primal, but yet so, you know, so well balanced that whenever I was stuck in a story of Archie Comics, for instance, what I would do is I would just think, okay, well, what happens when you put Jughead and Veronica in a room together? I can't even imagine at first glance what these two people would have in common to talk about. It's like that Seinfeld episode where George and Elaine are hanging out and they realize they have nothing to talk about but Jerry. that the idea of taking two characters that have nothing in common or don't seem on the face of it to have anything in common and throwing them together into a story will automatically generate a story for you. And I, you know, you, that doesn't just work. It works well with the Archie characters because they're so well defined.
Yeah.
But you can do that with any. You can do that with, you know, Spider-Man and Wolverine. You can do that with. You know, you can do it with Batman and...
I think Spider-Man and Wolverine's been done.
I know. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, crap. So much for my miniseries pitch. But you know what I'm saying. But any, you know, Lois Lane and Alfred. I mean, yeah. You know, any...
That'd be actually pretty cool.
Yeah, see, that's, you know...
That sounds like something you got a chance to do a lot in Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, that's, just, I mean... Like, yeah.
Every month.
A big part of Brave and Bold was just like, what two characters that don't seem like they would belong together?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Superman and the Shining Knight, and what can we possibly do to throw them together?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was no fun to take characters that belong together. It's more fun to take, because there's no friction there. There's like, what do you want to do, Superman? I don't know, Batman, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's dandy, but that doesn't give me much dramatic fodder to draw from, whereas if you put Supergirl and Lobo together in a story,
yeah.
Now you got a story. And you got two characters who are just antithetically, they're in conflict with each other, not only in conflict with each other, but in conflict with whatever they're facing. So that suddenly you've doubled the danger and you've doubled the drama. So that's another big piece of it. My final piece of big advice on where you find your ideas, and I don't know where I picked this one up, but I've been using it pretty relentlessly for years, you look at your cast of characters.
Uh-huh.
And without any ideas for stories, just start making a list of what's the worst thing that could possibly happen to every one of them.
Oh, there you go.
And if you can't find story material in there, then either your characters are too flat or you're just not thinking. So... And it doesn't mean you have to go down the checklist and ruin everybody's life, but it just starts getting you thinking.
But it's fun.
It's fun. And it starts getting you thinking about, like, what's, again, that's the essence of drama, isn't it? Is I want something and I can't have it. So what's, you know, or something, I'm facing something I don't know how to deal with. So that's my tip.
Do you do a lot of writing exercises like that?
Not on paper so much as in my head all the time, because I live inside my head 22 hours a day. Whenever, you know, I sequester myself in my home and nobody ever sees me. So,
but out comes gold.
But let's knock on wood. Let's hope. That's where I go now. Do you have anything to add here about in terms of like where do you find these ideas? Where do you?
I would say. No, that's more of a thing for. This is kind of more of a thing for artists, but I guess it can apply to writers too. Don't be afraid to pull back. Because I think one thing I've found is that I think a lot of talent, unfortunately, misses the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's the job of a good editor to pull that talent back and say, hey, you know, it's fun to dwell on this one little aspect. Like if someone was creating that list of what was the worst thing to do with a character and just wanted to go on and on about a character's, you know, family history... That can be kind of cool, but it's like, I don't want to say as cynical as what's going to put butts in seats, but what's the greater, more accessible story?
Well, yeah, everything has to be in service of the story. I mean, if you start giving me insane detail on a great level about your character's backstory, it tells me that you've thought about your character, but at the same time, it doesn't. If it's not pulling me into the narrative, then I don't care. If it doesn't set up conflict, I don't care. You know, every scene has a conflict in it. Every comic has a conflict in it. Every page, there should be some sense of conflict
don't,
to it.
Yeah, I guess that was a rather confusing way of saying don't lose momentum.
Yes, all right, that's your tip for today. Don't lose momentum. And I think with that, we are at 15 minutes, as Daphne wants us to be, and we're going to check out now, but we will talk to you next week. And this is Mark Wade, 15 Minutes With.
And Ian Brill.
And we're over and out.
All right.